But in the 50s, the cars that were selling then, it was, you were selling Ford. What was your competition? Chevrolet?
All this town had several, almost all the dealerships at that time. We didn't have anybody driving any, not to make real expensive cars, but there was Dodge, there was Plymouth Dodge, and there was Chevrolet and Buick. There was one other one. I'm trying to think what the other one was. Nash. They were making Nashes in those days.
Were you selling more Fords than anybody or Chevrolets?
Well, I'll tell you what. The Chevrolet was strong in those days, and we were competing pretty hard. They were kind of red at even Nick. The people that owned the Chevrolet dealership were old enough to, in fact, all the dealers were old enough to be my parents, just to tell you the truth. I was the only kid on the block in those days, and I took advantage of that fact because two of the dealers, the Buick dealer and the Chevrolet dealer's daughters, I dated when I was in high school. And so when I took over the dealership there, I used to take them to lunch in that lock, and I'd ask them a lot of questions, and they helped me. They're always, you know, if you ask people, can you help me? Why, most people, that flatters them, and they liked me, and so they kind of coached me and brought me on. So I did a great job. And I got to tell you what, we sold automobiles, I would say, not a lot of them, but it's strange how people will get in a plane and fly 1,500 miles or so and come and buy from you. And once they bought from you and had a nice experience, why, you'd sell them another four or five cars through the years. The farthest away was Alaska. A fella who lived in Nebraska had flown down to our place and bought two vehicles, and his son, who lived in Alaska, flew all the way from Alaska then down to buy a truck from us.
And why would they fly that far to buy from you?
Well, if people have good experiences, they just do that. I sold a lot of cars. I sold quite a few cars into people, believe it or not, into Houston, Texas. They've just become good customers.
How much did the cars cost, say, back in the 50s?
Right after World War II, they came out with a 46 model. They built a 42 model. That's when they quit building vehicles for the war, was the 1942. And in 1946 is when they started building them again. And I can remember the last two-door was like, I think it was like $1,000. A club coupe was a coupe that had a little back seat in it. It was 10.5, and the four doors, $1,100. By the time we got up to about 1950, I think automobiles were selling for about $1,995 then. You think about it, it's just the last 10 years that cars have really, more so in the last 5 years, that cars have really gotten expensive, you know. Who ever thought that today they're selling Ford pickups for as much as $120,000. Some of these pickups, of course, they have all the things that cars do now. Speaking of that, I've still got a little 1998 Ranger pickup. That was a small pickup that they built, and it's got little back doors on it and little fold-up seats in the back. But the nice thing about it is, if you're not really a big, tall person, well, even a big, tall person can't reach over the bed, the side of the beds on these new trucks and that like, and you go around the tailgate, and they're tall enough, you can't turn around and sit down. So I kept this little 1998 pickup of mine. I call it Little Red, and I could reach over and put my hand on the flat of the bed and turn around and sit out on the tailgate. Guy wanted to know how much I'd take for it the other day. He said he'd give up $5,000 for it. That's more than it sold for new,
yeah.
But quite a bit.
Do you think the cars built today are as good as the cars built back there in the 50s and 60s?
Well, they weren't built for the durability. Of course, very few people have off of anything that's not paved today, too, you know. As far as quality of that, like, there's a lot of those cars that people really drove up to 500,000 miles. I don't know one person, one customer, I drove his over a billion.
Didn't most people trade their cars in if they hit 100,000 and then they'd trade them in?
Well, they did. Most people would trade, you know, somewhere around 65 or 70,000 miles. I remember that the second car that I sold when I was in business in 1950, why I gave to my daughter when she was, I traded back for it. They drove it a long time, but I gave it to my daughter when she was a senior in high school, so that's what she drove.
The interstate highway system, Eisenhower established the interstate highway system. Do you recall when that happening and how that affected cars?
Well, it changed things. The way, of course, people started driving a lot more than those days as far as distances. When I graduated from high school, I graduated with 98 other kids in my senior year, and I would say that there weren't but about 10 of us that had ever been out of Payne County. Stillwater was in Payne County, Oklahoma, and they had never been out of the county when they graduated from high school.
Were there any times when the economic situation in Oklahoma was not good and people weren't buying cars and you had a difficulty in your business?
There was a time our business probably stayed pretty good, pretty even. Our town, when I graduated from high school, where they put a little sign out on the east side of our town that said that our population was 8,000. And until about 10 years ago, I think our population was still somewhere around 18 or 19,000. Today, why our population is somewhere around 50 mark, 50,000. And we have people pouring into our town. In fact, we made the comment, those of us that have lived to be old, that we wish to go back to the old days. We've got too many people. They're building over 100 houses a year in our town. They are selling as fast as they put them up. And that's another sad part about it, the quality of the material today and the quality of crafted people is pretty poor.
Did you have some special salesmen that were really great?
We did, and I will tell you this, that I just had lunch with a day with a woman that worked for me as one of my secretaries that's out here at this retirement home. And I met another lady who was a hairdresser out here, and her mother had worked for me as a secretary. But I will tell you what, most of my mechanics that I personally spent time teaching them, I'd hire farm kids. In those days, you could hire these farm kids, and they had some mechanical knowledge because they had worked on machinery and that like. But you'd bring them in, and every week, why, I had class at night, and we had films that showed how to do things that I bought, and we'd sit there, and then I taught them how to be technicians. And many of them, I'd say, stayed anywhere with me from 18 to 20 years as technicians. And then what would happen, they would just burn out, because a lot of things, they didn't have the equipment they have today, and things were heavy. They just wore their bodies out, and so then they would do something else. But as far as administrative people, I've had people work for me as long as 38 years. Oklahoma City was always trying to steal my technicians away because they were well trained. And the boys, sometimes they were young, they'd just hire young people. And they'd say, well, Mr. Thomas, I got to leave because I could just make more money in Oklahoma City. And I'd say 90% of them would always come back. And I'd say, what brought you home? And I said, well, you for number one. And number two, it's just different. This is a nice place to work. I kept our place like a family. We always operated for a big family. And I'd have a big Christmas for them. I always gave not a chicken or something or a turkey or something. I gave them money. And we would have a big Christmas party. And Santa Claus would come in, and we'd decorate the tree for Christmas and that like. It was just home. I run into these people all the time. And like I say, I live in this town today, and I don't think you'll find a soul I'm sure there's somebody. You can't please everybody. But I'd say that the majority of the people, you'd have a very hard time in my town finding anybody to say a kind thing about me.